Big news out of Minsk, Belarus today, where the leaders of Ukraine, Russia, France, and Germany announced a plan to stop the fighting in eastern Ukraine. A ceasefire is scheduled to take effect Sunday morning. It is supposed to end the fighting there between Ukrainian forces and the pro-Russian separatists who've been battling to establish independent regions since April. The announcement today came after more than 16 hours of talks overnight and into the early morning hours. Here's Russian President Vladimir Putin speaking through an interpreter.
No, it certainly hasn't been the best night in my life, but it's indeed good morning because in spite of all the difficulties of the negotiations, we have managed to reach an agreement upon the most important thing. Why?
The BBC's David Stern joins us from Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. And David, how is this ceasefire supposed to be implemented? Who's going to be in charge of removing heavy weapons from the region, for instance?
Well, first of all, the most pressing issue is whether the ceasefire actually goes into effect Saturday night going into Sunday morning. And we have 2.5 days of fighting before that. And as you know, these things are very difficult to stop, especially if they've gathered even more momentum. We may see some even more intense fighting in the run-up, which may mean that it may not even go into effect. But once it does, the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, is going to be doing a lot of the overseeing, and they've been tasked with overseeing the pullback of artillery. And there's a number of things that if we get that far, and that's a big if, that will be, I guess, almost improvised.
What kind of a role will President Putin have to play in making sure that this ceasefire does happen? What kind of sway does he have with the separatists?
Well, it depends on whom you ask. If you ask Mr. Putin, he says, well, the separatists make up their own minds. If you ask basically anybody else who was in that room, the Germans, the French, the Ukrainians, and practically everybody else, they would say, no, he has a great deal of sway. Now, there may be a difference of opinion, because remember, if peace does break out, if there's a real deal, if this becomes a stable, albeit frozen conflict, the rebels are in a very bad position. And they may not, they probably don't want to give up their weapons, because that's basically the only thing that gives them sort of, that protects them and drives them. So they may be pushing back a bit if Mr. Putin is in fact pushing for peace. But what appears to be the case is that they, with some instruction from Moscow, are making things a bit more difficult. So I guess it's not quite good cop, bad cop. It's bad cop, not as bad cop.
You don't sound very optimistic that this ceasefire is going to hold.
No, I'm not very optimistic. I genuinely hope, of course, along with just about everybody on either side of the conflict, that the killing can stop. But we have to be realistic. There's a lot moving against it. I will be very surprised, but not to say that I won't be happy if there is a ceasefire on Saturday night. But even beyond that, there's a lot that's moving against this, and it really depends on the will of the rebels. I think the government here has shown that it's interested in a ceasefire because they know that they can't beat the rebels. They know they can't beat the Russian army. And the rebels up until now have really not shown any indication that they would like to stop the fighting.
Meanwhile, we got news today that the International Monetary Fund has agreed to loan Ukraine $17.5 billion in aid, along with some very difficult economic reforms. That's how those reforms are being described, and those are required in order for Ukraine to get the money. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, this is potentially as important as the peace deal. Ukraine has two crises at the moment. One is in the east, and one is in the rest of the country with the economy. The economy is very quickly unraveling, and the country faces bankruptcy. As you have said, it depends on, or the IMF has said that one of the reasons why they've agreed to do this is because the Ukrainians have moved forward with major economic and structural reforms. among which is the trying to tackle corruption and reducing spending. But it's also with the understanding that there will be even more and further reaching reforms. And this really is the key. Ukraine is on the edge of a precipice right now, economically speaking. Ultimately, this could be the jolt that will turn the country's economy around. This is part of the revolution that took place last year, and what are the expectations? This is incredibly difficult to carry out in a time of war, and so obviously the deck is stacked against Ukrainians. But as the IMF chief Christine Lagarde said, this could be a turning point for the country.
That's the BBC's David Stern speaking to us from Kiev, Ukraine. David, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.